Bobby Hurley is one of the legends of college basketball. He led Duke to a national championship in 1991 and 1992, and he is still college basketball's all-time assist leader. Hurley joined the NCAA coaching ranks in 2010, serving as his brother Danny's assistant for Wagner for two seasons. Both Hurleys moved on to coach Rhode Island in the A-10 last season. Bobby Hurley was recently named head coach of Buffalo University in the Mid-American Conference. I'm Mike Tanner of Sports on Earth, and this week I got the chance to talk to Hurley about Duke basketball and about the whole NCAA tournament. Bobby, congratulations on the coaching job at Buffalo. It looks like you got a couple of very active big men there in Javon McCray and Will Regan. What are your expectations going in for both those players and for the franchise?
Well, I'm gonna really get to watch a lot of film on those two guys this weekend and really get a better feel for them. But Javon is a very talented guy and obviously put up really, really strong statistics last year, both in points and rebounding, and very active in the lane, athletic, great first step. You know, he's got a chance to be a pro, and that's what he's striving for. And, you know, I'm going to help him try and accomplish that. And Will Regan, I think, is a great compliment to Javon just with his skill level and his ability to shoot the basketball. I think, those two guys should work very well together.
How far do you think Buffalo can go in its first season?
Well, I mean, that's yet to be determined. I think I'm gonna start learning a lot more about that as I start working with the guys in individual workouts and get a better feel for them. A lot of people that I've spoken to about the team, feel that there's obviously talent here, and it's a veteran team. We'll have five seniors next year, so these guys are going to be very motivated to win basketball games. Especially when you talk to them this time of year and they get a chance to watch the NCAA tournament and see teams like Florida Gulf Coast and LaSalle and mid-major programs that are accomplishing great things in the tournament. It gets them excited and want to work hard to get ready for next year.
And that brings up a good point. How important for you as you recruit, as you develop a program like that, is the success of Florida Gulf Coast and LaSalle and Wichita State when you go to these players and try to convince them to buy into a program?
Well, I think people that follow college basketball closely realize how much the gap has closed between the real high-major programs and mid-major teams. You're able to develop talent, keep the continuity of your teams together at the mid-major level. You know, very rarely do you see players at that level, going to the NBA drafts. You're able to establish a true team, based on, veteran leadership and experience. And I think it really pays off in the tournament time to have guys, that are older, that, have that experience to play in the tournament. And you've seen it, with the excitement that those two programs in particular have generated in the NCAA tournament.
And when you talk about that gap closing, you just spent some time in the Atlantic 10, and several teams had big runs, not just LaSalle, but several teams won a game. In the Atlantic 10, do you feel that conference gets overshadowed a little bit nationally, both by the Big East and some of the other power conferences?
Well, I mean, I knew how good of a league it was this year, having gone through it. And, we played a very demanding out-of-conference schedule. We played Ohio State and teams like that, and Virginia Tech and some of the high majors, Auburn. So we saw those SEC, Big Ten types, ACC, and I saw some terrific basketball in our league, St. Louis. We were fortunate enough to beat them at St. Louis and Butler and BCU's, and I was so impressed with LaSalle, just having prepared for them and seeing how good their guards were. I knew that they would cause problems for teams. Really good guard play usually bodes well in the NCAA tournament, and they have a number of guys that could get it done off the dribble, on the perimeter, and they had an exciting team to watch. And in my own family bracket here in the house, I had them going to the Sweet 16, so I had that one correct. There were a few others I missed the mark on, but I had a good feeling about them doing well in the tournament for sure.
You had them in the Sweet 16, and I'm a LaSalle alumni, and I did not even have them in the Sweet 16. But you're a Duke alumni, and you've got a rooting interest, I suppose, still in the Sweet 16. How much Duke did you get to watch during the course of the season, or did you just catch up with them come tournament time?
It's very hit or miss. You know, we're so busy, and you know, when we're playing, we usually play it on Saturday, and that's usually when they're playing. I've caught a couple of their games, but it's been hard. You know, it always is when you're preparing to play opponents and recruiting and doing all the stuff you're doing. So, but they, you know, they have a really nice mix. They have, you know, again, great leadership, great older players, inside outside game, and you know, good slashers. Suleiman, young guy that, you know, is kind of a wild card for them. If he plays at a real good level, they're tough to beat. So, you know, they're getting close too, and I think Coach K really knows how to get to put teams over the top. And when, you know, he's at the Sweet 16, he's pretty dangerous.
And you mentioned Suleiman, but I wonder if you've seen enough to give me your point guard's appraisal of Quinn Cook, who looks like he's been playing very strong in the opening part of the tournament.
Well, it's great for him. You know, I believe one of his games he had 11 assists and one turnover, and that's a, you know, terrific ratio. I think the point guard decision making in the NCAA tournament is so critical, and he's a guy that showed flashes of it, you know, all year. He's shown that he could play at a high level, and I think if he could consistently play that way and distribute the ball that way and take care of the ball, it's gonna give Duke a great opportunity. You know, my best year in the NCAA tournament was my sophomore year. I had like 48 assists to 6 or 7 turnovers, and you know, that type of, you know, assist to turnover ratio over the course of the tournament usually means you're getting your team good shots and giving yourself a chance to win.
And during those best years that you had Christian Laettner there, who was a big man who also had outside range and kind of a soft touch. And Duke has that right now with Kelly. What does that player do for both a point guard and for a coach to have that kind of big man who can go inside and then go outside and score from the perimeter?
It just gives you a lot of options and a lot of flexibility. And you could, you know, you could look at matchups and see how he's being guarded. So if he's got a smaller guy on him to take away his perimeter game, then he's got the ability to post him, and to play a bigger guy on him, then you take him away from the basket and try and go off the dribble, and bigger guys aren't used to guarding out on perimeter players. So gives you a matchup advantage, and then it also really spreads the court out. If you got a guy that's a big guy that can shoot, it opens the floor up and gives the penetrating perimeter players a chance to get in the lane and create and make play.
Who's the MVP of that Duke team, in your opinion?
That's a tough call. I mean, I would say Seth Curry, maybe, just because, you know, I think he's very clutch. You know, he's a shot maker. He's a guy down the stretch that they'll look to, to make big shots. And it takes guys, you know, making big shots in critical moments to really advance, as far as you want to take it. So I would probably go with Seth Curry.
Excellent. You just mentioned that you have your own private bracket there, so you have your own Final Four picked out somewhere, don't you?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I got 12 out of 16 right now. I'm drawing a few dead into the Final Eight with a couple of teams that I lost. I went big on the 8-10 this year. St. Louis was a team I was real impressed with, and they didn't advance. But you know, my Final Four is still in place. Final Four is Duke and Ohio State, and that West bracket is kind of it fell apart a little bit. So Ohio State's got a real good chance there, and I have Florida and Indiana. So let's see how it goes.
It sounds similar to mine, but one team I have on there you don't is Louisville.
Yeah, I love Louisville all year. I love their guard play. I love their style play. I think it suits the tournament very well. And I would have, if they were in any other bracket besides Duke, I'd probably have them in Final Four.
And when we talk about style of play, and we've been talking about Florida Gulf Coast, when you see that intense up-tempo style of play, do you look at that and say that's something you would borrow from, maybe lean towards, or is it something that you look at as a coach and say, that's something I'm not going to run myself, but I have to get my guys ready for?
Yeah, I mean, when I played, we got into people and guarded and played at a high level defensively and really, contested passing lanes, got ball pressure, really guarded hard. So that would be, my style, and even to extend the defense responsibly, pressuring the basketball, making teams work for everything they get at that end of the floor. And on offense, I like the way they play. They, they push the ball, when they have a chance in transition, and that's a fun style to watch. I think your fan base would enjoy seeing that, and I think the players that you're recruiting want to play that way. It's definitely something that I would try and agree with in terms of how they play.
Excellent. Well, tell me, you're involved with Thuzio now. Why don't you tell me about that?
I'm excited to be with Thuzio. I think it's a great concept, great idea, just a way, interactively for, fans to reconnect with athletes that have retired and moved on, but still really thoroughly enjoyed their careers. And, it's a way to match up, certain things that athletes may enjoy doing, whether it's going to dinner or a speaking engagement at a function or a round of golf. And, there are so many ways that that fans can interact. And, we've always been kind of isolated as former professional athletes, and fans may not really know how to get a hold of us. Or, this Thuzio provides that forum and the platform for everyone to be connected and to have an opportunity for us to interact more with people that watch our careers.
It sounds like a great idea, although it sounds like if I interacted with you on my college bracket, I would be getting my butt kicked by one additional person.
Well, I mean, that's the part of it. You have to swallow your pride with this stuff. And I've been brought to my knees in my own house by my 9-year-old son and my wife. And I don't think she knows a whole lot about basketball. And so that's happened. So it's natural.
Well, that's it. Never play against a 9-year-old or a wife. That's a lesson learned from lots and lots of bracket play. But Coach, yeah. Thank you very much for your time again. Congratulations on the Buffalo job and good luck.
I appreciate it. Really enjoyed talking.
And thank you much. Bobby Hurley with Mike Tanner of Sports on Earth.